There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host, John, and we are continuing with our 40 days of Dragon Con. We're going to continue with the director's interviews. And, of course, joining me, as always, for these director interviews is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I am good. How are you?
I am fine. If this is your first one of these you're listening to, then Lee is the director of the X-Track, right? You're
yes,
X-Track, not the other one.
X-Track. Okay. X-Track.
Yeah, because there's the X-Track and what used to be under her track, which was Paranormal, which is now its own track.
Own track. Okay. There was X-Track, and X-Track had everything, and now we've split into two because people wanted more because they're greedy.
And you refused to give them anything, so then...
Yeah, that was it, because I refused to.
That's how that works out.
Such a pain in my tuchus.
So 37 days as of the recording of this.
Oh, dear God. Yes. Yeah.
You're probably
37 days.
Probably
I haven't gotten in trouble yet. Our schedules are now with our senior directors to review, to move people around if some of us have double booked a guest or anything like that. And I have not gotten called yet by my senior director and yelled at, so I'm pretty darn happy.
How do you determine who gets what guest if you are double booked? Just whoever gets it in first?
You just try to negotiate it and see what you can do. Usually what'll happen, it's like, well, okay, that was a fandom panel. I can move. I can X-Track or the other track can move because it's a fandom panel. If I move them here, instead of Friday at 4, I'll put them at Friday at 7:30. If it's a big name guest, which doesn't happen a whole lot, we're pretty good on that, but sometimes it does. If it's that, it's usually just depending on who has the bigger room and who will draw the bigger crowd.
Okay.
But yeah, they work it all out. It's pretty good. We're pretty good, and the track directors are pretty good. We try to not get too crazy about who gets and who doesn't get. So we're trying to be pretty sharing, which is nice. However, our guest tonight doesn't ever have to share because she is so specific. She doesn't share people until they make movies of the books, and then that's another thing.
Actually, I have to share now.
Who do you have to share? Really?
Well, Lee, why don't you
Brandon Sanderson. He writes more than just Wheel of Time stuff.
Oh, okay.
Lee, why don't you go ahead and
I'll introduce. Is that okay, John?
Yes, that's fine.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm sorry. This is Jennifer. She is the track director for Wheel of Time, a very specific track, which is all about the books of the Wheel of Time, of which there are, what, 427, right?
We're getting there. Number 13 is coming out in a couple months. So I've been reading these books since I was 12, and now I'm 30. So that gives you an idea of how long the series has been being worked on.
Yeah. I didn't realize it had. I did not realize it had been that long. Oh my God! It's like the Dark Tower.
Yeah, this year is actually the 20th anniversary of the publication of the first book in the series, The Eye of the World.
Wow.
Yeah, and wow. I looked this up on Wikipedia, and we know Wikipedia is never ever wrong. But according to Wikipedia, the Wheel of Time is now the sixth longest work of fiction in the English language.
Okay, now that always, yeah, that would make sense. That's a lot of words. It's a lot of words.
That is a lot.
Well, for those
it's something like, you know, 4 million words right now.
For those of us that don't know anything about this particular, and forgive me, don't know anything about this particular work other than it exists. And you know, the funny thing is that I used to whenever I go to Dragon Con, I always pass by the room and always like, what is this Wheel of Time thing? And I always thought it was.
Uh-huh.
You know, I always imagined there was some guy strapped to a big wheel, and they would just every now and again come by and spin them. That was my that was envisioning. But no, so what is Wheel of Time? It's obviously a series of books, but how did how this all come about, and how did you and while we're at it, how did you become track director of Wheel of Time?
Oh, that's a fun story. I'll tell that story. Okay, The Wheel of Time, to get started, is an epic fantasy series by Robert Jordan. Well, it was originally by Robert Jordan. Unfortunately, Robert Jordan died in the middle of working on it in 2007, and the series has been taken over by another author by the name of Brandon Sanderson, who is a very, very good fantasy author. But anyways, Wheel of Time is a massive series of fantasy novels, and it centers around a character named Randall Thor, who is your standard fantasy guy who is prophesied to save the world, and it's going to suck while he does it. What makes The Wheel of Time unique, other than its huge length, is that not only is it about the story of Rand and his journey from becoming the simple farmer or shepherd from the two rivers, it's also about the world going through a massive shift. It's a world that is pre-industrial, that is on the verge of becoming industrialized. It's a world of feudalism that is starting to turn into nation states. So everything is in a state of flux. The world is literally about to end for these characters. And some people are very opportunistic about that. Some people are like, hey, this is a great time for me to declare myself Empress of everything and go on this massive journey of conquest across the ocean. Other characters are working for the bad guy. They're working for the Dark One, who is sealed up in a metaphysical prison and is trying to affect the world through the use of his agents called Dark Friends or the Forsaken. And it's very difficult to explain in just a few words, but there's a lot of characters. There's something like 2,000 named characters in the series. There's at least three main male characters. There's far more female characters, and it's just the story of a world that's in flux, and this guy who's just kind of trying to deal with it at the same time he's just got to fight off the ultimate evil.
So let me ask you. We'll get to your, because I'm sure. Now I am really piqued by the story of how you became a track director. But let me ask you how long is each book in length?
They vary. The longest one is about 400,000 words. The shortest one is probably about 250,000 words. And so these are big books. These are very thick books. They take up an entire shelf on my bookcase right now, but just by themselves. I'm actually running out of room on that bookcase.
They could hurt a person, John. They could hurt a person if you hit them with them. They're big.
Yeah.
They're big.
They're about the length of War and Peace.
Each of them?
Like each book.
Wow.
Yeah, each book is about the length of War and Peace. A little shorter, but about that length. So that's what we're looking at.
So that is a lot of reading, and there's a lot of, as I'm imagining, there's a lot of depth to the books as well. So, because that raises an interesting question in my mind, which is, it is a very specific track, and I don't see any other series of books getting a very, maybe I guess there's a Tolkien one, but that's kind of just
Tolkien has its own track. Pern start off with their own track, but then they move to embrace all of Anne McCaffrey's work. But we're really the only lit track that focuses just on one series of books that is only books. There's no movie made about our track. There's just the books.
Right. So why such a specific track, and how did you become track director?
Okay, to go back like to way prehistory before I was involved with Dragon Con, I am an administrator at a website called Dragonmount.com. It is the largest, most prominent Wheel of Time fan site. And I've been staff there in various capacities for almost 12 years now, since the beginning of the internet almost. And so I was staff there, and I live here in Atlanta, and a friend of mine that I met through the site was coming to Atlanta to visit, and she's like, hey, I'm going to Dragon Con. You've never been to Dragon Con before. You live in Atlanta. You should go to Dragon Con with me. So I went there with my brother and the person who was my fiancé at the time. He's now my husband. And we went to Dragon Con for the day, and we just kind of walked around. We looked, and we talked, and we're having a really good time. And you're like, you know what? This place is really awesome. We really like Dragon Con, but it's missing something. You know, if we had some kind of Wheel of Time thing going on here, all of our friends from the internet would come, and they would hang out with us here at DragonCon. We could meet everybody for the first time and actually talk to each other in person instead of on the internet. And so we all thought this was a great idea. And me being the person who has very poor impulse control and kind of takes the initiative on stupid ideas like this, I emailed the convention and said, hey, you know, if you ever want to do a Wheel of Time track, let me know. So at this point, I had never been to any convention other than DragonCon. I had never been staff or volunteer for any convention other than DragonCon. And I'd only been to DragonCon for a couple of hours. So, and I was volunteering to run a track, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
What year was that?
That was 2000. So the first year of the track was 2001.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
So I emailed the convention, and somehow my email got passed along to Ed Kramer, who was the chair at the time, and he's like, yeah, we have, you know, the Babylon 5 track is ending. The guy who runs it, he says this is his last year, so we'll do a Wheel of Time track. And he said he would get back to me and that he would, you know, see if he could get Robert Jordan to come, who's the author of the series, so that we would have something cool to do while we were at the track, you know, have the author to talk to and hang out with. And then Ed Kramer never got back to me. And so I started sending emails to the general email address on DragonCon website again, like, hey, you know, I'm supposed to be running a track for you. I need some kind of direction on what to do, or, you know, some instructions would be nice. And then I found out that Ed Kramer was having some legal troubles and was no longer going to be the chair of the convention, and that he had not told anybody that I was going to be running a track before he had his problems. And so they couldn't figure out who I was and why I kept calling and emailing, asking, well, you know, I need directions for my track. So finally they figured out who I was, and I went to the first director's meeting, and I think I was about 20 at the time. Yeah, I was 20, because it's been about 10 years. And I felt very out of place, because I'd never been to any kind of, you know, important grown-up meeting before.
I'm sorry. Hold. Whoa. You just called it DragonCon director meeting a grown-up meeting?
So imagine my surprise, because I got there and I was like, okay, I made sure to dress professionally. I made sure to have a notebook to make notes on and, like, have important things to say. And I didn't need any of
this. I'm sorry. If you've ever been to a DragonCon meeting, which they give a lot of information out, and they're very important meetings, and I am not at
all. And they're very informative.
They're very informative, but they are not like a board meeting. They're very
Which is what I was expecting, because I didn't have any frame of reference whatsoever.
That's hysterically fun. I loved. I'm,
I know.
This is
I was so little and cute back
you.
Then. And the other funny thing is, while we were going through this whole thing about trying to figure out, I was trying to get in touch with the convention, trying to figure out what was going on, it turns out that Pat Henry, the guy who's the convention chair now, his daughter was in my poli-sci class at GSU. Like, I was sitting next to Pat Henry's daughter, like, every other day for, like, the whole 3 months I was trying to get this figured out, and I didn't even know it. But we couldn't have this, you know, settled in, you know, a matter of days if I'd known I was sitting next to that Rachel Henry. So, weird coincidence.
So that ended up
being my first year running the track. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It was insanely stressful, because I didn't know what you did in a track. I didn't know what things you were supposed to do, and I didn't know what kinds of programming Wheel of Time fans would be interested in. But I did have a lot of my internet friends come and volunteer to be my staff and come and hang out with us. And so the first year of the track was really just kind of a DragonMountain.com meet and greet session for 4 days. And it worked. There was very little decent programming, but it worked. Yeah, and everybody said they had a good time and they'd come back. So it was good. And then other Wheel of Time websites or Wheel of Time communities heard about the track and were like, really? There's a Wheel of Time track at a convention. We can go and dress up in our silly costumes and hang out with each other, and you'll be friends with us. And so we started having that, you know, that go on. So we started having, you know, websites like Tarvalon.net started having a major presence. Theoryland.com has a very good presence. know, the big Wheel of Time community on the internet, they make sure to come out every year for it, which is cool.
Awesome.
And they actually have a really interesting, you have a big group every year, a pretty good sized group every year that shows mm-hmm. up at the parade.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, the parade is really awesome. One of the cool things about the Wheel of Time series is Robert Jordan is really good at description. Like, he's very detailed about his description, which is partly what makes the book so long, is he has to describe what everybody's wearing in such detail. But if you're a costumer, it is a costumer's dream series, because you have to do a lot of research, you have to do a lot of, looking for detail, and everything is very spelled out, and when he was alive, we would talk to him, we would, send him emails and things like that, and he would answer our questions about him. Say, oh yeah, I base this culture's costuming off of this real world culture, and you should look at this kind of stuff if you're interested in making Aiel costumes and whatever. And so there's a huge costuming thing in the Wheel of Time fandom where people want to dress up as the characters or want to dress up as, people from places in the books. And so, we want to show that off in the parade. So we do that.
That's great. So, you actually had mentioned that there is, you talked about your website, excuse me. You talked about your website mm-hmm. Briefly. What was the name of that website again?
Dragonmount.com.
Dragonmount.com. And you said you also do a podcast as well associated with that, or?
Well, I'm not on the podcast very regularly. Usually just right before a convention when I have to plug something I'm working on. But there's a podcast that we do with Dragonmount called The Fourth Age. Uh-huh. Which is a Wheel of Time podcast. It was the first Wheel of Time-based podcast. There's a couple of others out there now, but we were the first. And it's put out, we try for about every couple weeks or so, but, it's all volunteer-based. It can be kind of erratic in its scheduling.
Right.
It's a group of people who get together on Skype, and they talk about the Wheel of Time, and then they record it and edit it and put it out on the internet. And so whenever there's a new book out or they'll talk about different theories, because Jordan loved to put little puzzles in the books for us to put together and to solve, who killed this character or what's going to happen here. There'll be little prophecies sprinkled around that you have to kind of figure out, okay, did this prophecy get fulfilled? Are we still waiting for this to happen? So there's a lot to discuss in the series. And so that's what they do on the Fourth Age, is kind of talk over different theories and things like that.
So was there an end planned? I mean, because obviously, as you mentioned, Robert Jordan is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an end to the series planned, or was it just going to continue forever?
No, there's an ending. It's coming up. Robert Jordan died when he was writing what he intended to be the final book of the series. So that made us all very sad. When Brandon Sanderson took over the series, he looked over the notes and everything that had been left for him, and he figured it out, and he was like, okay, I'll start writing it as one book. But as he started writing it, it got to be longer and longer and longer, and it if he had written it all as one book, it would have been unbindable. It would have been so long.
Yeah.
And so so they made the decision that they would actually split into three books. And so the first of those three books was released last fall. It was called The Gathering Storm. The second part of those three books is going to be released this fall, and it's called Towers of Midnight. And the final portion, which will be the end of the series, it's called A Memory of Light, and it will be released probably in 2011 or 2012, depending on how long it takes them to finish it.
Hmm. So then, is there any talk, now I'm just kind of off the topic of Dragon, mm-hmm. Dragon Con for a minute, but because now I'm completely fascinated by this whole Wheel of Time thing.
Oh, sure.
Is there any talk of any movies being made out of these, or is it just...
A company called Red Eagle bought the rights to the series a couple years ago. It's been at least 5 or 6 years that they've had the rights to the series, and they have a development deal with Universal. And so they're working on a movie. I've met Larry, who is one of the producers, one of the Red Eagle guys, and he's very nice, and he seems very sincere in his desire to make a series, a movie that will be satisfactory to the fans. He's very, very aware, though, that in order to put these books on film, it's going to have to cut out a lot of stuff. But, they're working on trying to put together some kind of movie, and we may see it eventually. It's in development hell right now, so God knows when it'll turn up.
So, jumping back to Dragon.
Well, now, I've got a question.
No, you can't ask anything.
This is actually, this is actually just curious because you hear the fans and you're saying there's so many fans, but are people happy about the idea of a movie? Are they, oh, dear God, don't do it? I mean, what's the overall feel? Is it kind of split?
Yeah, it's kind of a split thing. Like, there's a lot of people who really want to see a movie made out of these books because there's some mindset that a book series isn't really an important book series until they've made a movie out of it. You know, for some reason, you've got to have a movie to be really successful. I don't really understand that, you know, because you can have a very popular, successful series of books without needing to have a movie to supplement it or TV show or whatever, because, you know, we get compared a lot to A Song of Ice and Fire, which is George R. R. Martin's series, and he's got that HBO series coming up. So a lot of fans, you know, think that this would be like the ultimate tribute to have a movie. Or they just want to see these things that they've imagined in their head up on a screen, and they want to, you know, see if it looks the way they think it's supposed to look. But then there's also another fans who's like, they're going to ruin this. They're going to have to take out too much to get it on screen. They're going to have to chop it up too much. When we think of what they had to take out of Tolkien's series to get that on screen, and this was a much shorter series. And, you know, they took out some things that are pretty controversial in the Tolkien fan community. Like, apparently they took out, like, a whole subplot. I actually haven't read any of the Tolkien books. I'm a bad fantasy reader. but, yeah, so there's some split opinion on whether or not a movie would actually be pretty good.
So
okay, that's interesting.
So how did you get mm-hmm. Involved in reading these books?
Well, my mom is a fantasy and sci-fi reader too, mm-hmm. And she would buy books and she would read them, and then she would say, "Jennifer, you need to read this. This is really good." And sometimes I would listen to her, and sometimes I wouldn't, because, you know, she would also give me Tolkien to read. I was like, "I can't read this. There's too much elven poetry. It makes me crazy." But she
and then you went the to wait book. And then you went to this one. Okay.
I know that there's just something about the elven poetry that I just can't get past. As soon as I hit it, it's like hitting a brick wall for me. But I can handle 4 million words of whatever about, you know, women sniffing and smoothing their skirts, but I'm, you know, elven poetry is right out.
Well, see, I mean, that's interesting. I bet you and some Tolkien fans are seriously going to throw down when they hear this, because they're like, our poetry is great. I just don't want to talk about skirts and what was going on in the middle of the court. I'm like, so it'll be interesting to hear it.
I've had it explained to me why the elven poetry is there, and I've had it explained to me about how these are great works of literature, and I've made sincere efforts to try to read Tolkien. I just can't do it. It's something broken inside me. It's not wrong with the books. The books are classics of literature for a reason. There's something broken in me that means I can't read Tolkien.
Tolkien is a chore. Trust. I mean, going through. Now we're back into opinion again. Which, of course, what else would we be into anyway? But yeah, when they start describing the whitest of white snow, in the 15,000 different ways he explains snow, it's just, it's a tough read to get through. The story itself is fantastic, but some of it is just kind of, I'm right there with you, some of it is just kind of just tough to get through. It's like,
crazy, or not your readers, your listeners crazy, is The Wheel of Time has pages and pages of description of the clothing, of the landscape, of the setting. You know, the characters have little tics that they do. When I made that comment before about the women sniffing and smoothing their skirts, that's a tic of Jordan's writing, where, you know, every time the women get annoyed with one of the male characters, which is like every other page, somebody has to sniff, and they cross their arms under their breast, and they smooth their skirts, and they tug a beret. And so there's all these little quirks to Jordan's writing that, for some reason, they just don't bother me. But elven poetry is right out.
So you've been, this is going to be your, 10th year at Dragon Con then? It'll be the 9th year of the track, right?
This will be the 10th year of the track.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, we started in 2001, so that's number one, and now we're at 2010,
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was going zero-based. So when did the millennium start for you? Was it on 2000 or 2001? Anyway.
2001.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
That's a whole nother.
Oh, God. You're going to get so much hate mail, John. Okay.
So
I'm a geek.
What is your, what has been your favorite? And now, we talked briefly before the podcast started, which is that you really, because you are so specific, you really don't have that many guests on your track.
We're really very fan based. Most of our programming is fan panels, or we do like sometimes we do like these really bizarre contests. Like last year, we did this contest called "Who Wants to Be an Ableist," and the Ableist in the Wheel of Time series is the Dark One's chief lieutenant on Earth. He's like the I won't say his hand because it's another character that's actually called the Hand, but he is the guy in charge, and so we have this contest where we're like, okay, who wants to be the Nablus? And so we made them do really stupid things and assigned random points to them and came up with a totally random winner and said, all right, that's it, you're the Nablus. And like one of the challenges was we had to trash talk the hero. So we have a cardboard cutout of Randall Thor that the book publisher sent me for Dragon Con last year, and we put that up in the track room, and they had to trash talk him and insult his mother and things like that, and it was really, really funny. Yeah. So we do really bizarre things like that. We do a lot of theory discussion. We'll do character-based discussion because some of the characters are very, very intriguing. Like there's this character called Baron who up until very recently, and I have to be very careful not to spoil anything, but Baron was a very ambiguous character where you didn't know if she was really good or if she was really evil. And you could read her actions both ways up until the most recent book that was published. And so we had a full packed room, standing room only, to talk about Varen and her motivations and whether or not she was really evil. So we kind of tack it in with stuff like that. We did have Robert Jordan as a guest back in 2005, which was right before the publication of the 11th book in the series, Knife of Dreams.
Okay, I got to tell on her. I got to tell Linda.
Yeah, tell the story.
This is my favorite. So all of us who have been track directors before, one of the things is when you get a guest, it's actually not that easy because you have to get the big rooms and you have to figure out how you're moving them from place to place sometimes. And that sometimes falls to you. It has in years past to your staff. Now we have a committee that kind of helps with that because we are so much bigger. But I mean, so it's there's a lot of logistics. There's a lot of work when you get a big name guest. It's not just, oh, I show up in a room and they show up in a room and everything works out fine. It doesn't, it never, no matter how great the guest is, it does not work that way.
No.
So Jennifer had been trying for years at the time when this happens, as I remember, to get Jordan. And you had been trying.
He just never worked out with his schedule.
He was going to Worldcon a couple of times, or he was doing something else, and he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, she got him. She was so excited for like two staff meetings. I mean, there was just this ethereal glow about her. I got Jordan. It was early on. I mean, you found out pretty early that he was coming.
Yeah,
I
found out he was coming in 2005. I was told by Pat Henry at the very end of the 2004 Dragon Con parade. Like, I was walking into the back of the Marriott with one of my friends, and Pat Henry is here. He's like, hey, Jennifer, I got news for you. And he leans over and he whispers in my ear, Robert Jordan coming next year. And I was like, okay. And then I took two steps, and then I started screaming hysterically, and everybody had to come over and find out, and I'd been bit by a spider or something.
Can't say anything. Yeah, right. You knew pretty early on, and she was just ethereal. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these things. And what happens is we have a staff meeting early on in January. Then we have the three director meetings we have a director's meeting by itself in January. Then we have three director and staff meetings, and then we have one more director meeting. And at the third director's meeting, I'll never forget this, because we were moving stuff around, and there were a lot of dates, and we're all standing in line. And when we give our updates for directors, we stand in line. So I'm X-Track and Jennifer's Wheel of Time, WX. So we're right there. And she just looked over at me as we're standing in line and other people. And she goes, nobody ever told me how damned hard it is to have guests. This is just really, there's just way too much work in this. And I was like, yeah, it's not easy. And she was like, this is just difficult. you got to move. And she was just, it was just like, and you had never ever heard Jennifer ever complain before. And all of a sudden she was just like,
I had nothing to complain about. My panelists were random drunks I found in the hallway who had read the Wheel of Time series. Like, you want to talk about Dark Prince? Get up there.
And it was literally, so I just was giggly and, that was just, that's my favorite Jennifer. These guests are difficult. It's, nobody ever told
they
me what
they are. There's all sorts of rules and things you have to do if you have a guest. And it's just hard.
It's just difficult. Yeah, and it was just funny. So I'm sorry. So everybody always wonders, like, I bet those track directors are great. We are excited when we get a guest, but then it's also, there's the 2 minutes of excitement and then the 20 minutes of, oh, crap, what have I got to move? Wait, oh, okay. Wait, I got to do that.
Yeah, so there's fun. That. You know, we've got Brandon Sanderson, who's the author who's finishing the Wheel of Time series coming this year. And I've worked with Brandon before at conventions. We had him at Dragon Con in 2008. I've also had him as a guest at Jordan Con twice. And I've seen him at other conventions, too. And so, and Brandon's a very laid-back guy, very laid-back, very easy to work with. You know, loves to meet his fans, loves to hang out with people, just a great guy all around. But doing his schedule this year has been a nightmare. a fun nightmare to work with, but not only do I have to do things for him with the Wheel of Time stuff, but he's got a solo novel coming out in a couple of weeks called The Way of Kings, and so he wants to do promotion for that because this is actually going to be in the middle of his signing tour for The Way of Kings. And so he wants to read from The Way of Kings. He wants to do programming related to it. He's very excited about The Way of Kings.
And all of that makes a lot of sense. And all of that makes a lot of sense that he wants to do that, of course.
Oh, yeah. I'm not arguing with it. I'm excited to read The Way of Kings, too. I mean, I'm counting down the days for it because Brandon's a really good writer. And but he's also doing a Decatur Book Festival, and he has a podcast with a podcasting track, wants to do some stuff with him, and it's just all sorts of stuff. And so I'm like, I got to juggle his schedule around between four different tracks and the Decatur Book Festival, and Tor wants to do stuff with him because it's the book signing tour, and So you end up losing a lot of control over your schedule when you have a guest, even if it's just one guest like Brandon. I can't imagine what the scheduling looks like for a track like the Star Trek track, where they actually have Star Trek actors coming in every year over and over again. You've got to, do something with them, but you have to do this stuff and not this stuff, and I don't know how they do it. Because I just have one author who comes every couple of years, and I can't figure it out.
Well, since you don't have very many guests, that's assuming that you've been able to get out of your room. Who has been your favorite guest that's not on your track?
Oh, I don't actually leave my room.
See, it's not just me.
even people that don't have guests can't leave their room?
No, you still got crap to do. You still have stuff to do.
She's just got drunks running panels.
Have stuff to do. It's that I really like what I'm doing.
It's also because you're interested in what's going on.
I have friends who come and try to pull me out of the track. It's like, Jennifer, you've got to come. The Firefly panel starting because they know I love Firefly. Or Jennifer, you've got to come and do this thing. And, you've got to come see the Battlestar Galactica actors. Or Jamie Bamber signing right now. Let's go. I'm like, I'm really kind of happy right now. I'm not going to go see an MRI. I'm not going to go try to elbow through the crowd. I'm just going to sit right here in my track room, and I'm going to giggle over this panel we're having right now. Or I'm going to, harass my panelists because they're all friends of mine, so I get to do that. but I really like being in my track room. I really like the Wheel of Time a lot. I've immersed myself in it for the last, probably 15 years. I married a Wheel of Time fan. Most of my friends are Wheel of Time fans. I have a very difficult time starting conversations with people if they're not Wheel of Time fans because I don't know what to talk about otherwise. I'm a school teacher, and I got a lot of my students reading the Wheel of Time because I would talk about it a lot during class, and I would derail my own lessons talking about Wheel of Time stuff, which is probably bad teaching, but the kids didn't mind.
And you teach trigonometry, so that's what's really weird.
Actually, it was history, so I could kind of make it work, but yeah.
let me ask you this, and let me ask you one of the questions that we always ask the directors that we have on, which is, if you could mm-hmm. have any guests that you haven't had yet, dead or alive,
okay,
who would it be?
A guest that I haven't had yet.
Even if it's not necessarily in your track, that you would love to
okay.
see.
Actually, somebody that I've always wanted as a guest, because to say that the authors are the only guests we could ever have for the Wheel of Time track is a little misleading, because we've had some of the cover artists, because Daryl Sweet's done the covers for the main series, and Charles Keegan did it for the young adult adaptions, and we've had them as guests. Who I would really like, though, is her name is Elisa Mitchell, and she does the interior maps in the book. And she's also kind of a go-to person for fantasy maps. Elisa's maps appear in a lot of other fantasy books, especially ones published by Tor. So I would really like to just kind of sit Elisa down and pick her brain over how does she design the map, how much input Jordan had into it, how much is comes from her. Just stuff like that. She'd be a really cool person to pick her brain for a while, I think.
Cool. Anyone else you can think of?
Elisa would be good. Tom Doherty, the publisher of Tor, was friends with Jordan, and is still friends with his widow, Harriet. And that he'd be an interesting person to pick for a while. Harriet McDougall, who's the editor of the series and was Jordan's wife as well, she was at Dragon Con with him in 2005, so she kind of doesn't fall into the hasn't been a guest of Dragon Con category, but she wasn't a guest in her own right. She was there with her husband. But she would be a really interesting person to have as a guest as well, because she could talk about Wheel of Time from the editorial perspective. She knew Jim, of course, Jim was his real name, very well. And so she'd be a really interesting person to have as a guest as well.
Go ahead, Lee.
Well, I was going to say, is there anybody you have seen or when the few times you've ever been able to leave your room that you've been able to see or you're looking forward to maybe this year trying to go see?
Uh-huh.
Is there anyone that you're thinking of this year, like, okay, of all the times I need to schedule something I don't want to sit in and listen on, this is when I need to do it?
Oh, can't really think of anything. I still haven't met Jamie Bamber, but he canceled, so he's out.
Yep.
I'd really like to meet Jamie Bamber, but that guy is hot.
I'm sure he also works at doing something. But he's hot.
No, that's
not important.
He's just pretty. Yeah.
His job is not important. He just stands there and looks pretty for me.
He just sit there. We're happy.
I don't know. I mean, I like seeing the actors, but I'm not an autograph hound. I don't collect autographs.
Right.
I don't feel like I have to meet the celebrity to connect with the work. That'd be kind of cool, to meet some of them. Oh, I know who would be cool to meet. Felicia Day would be awesome to meet, because I hear she's a Wheel of Time fan, and I'd like to drag her down into my track.
There you go. Woohoo!
Yeah, so if she was coming this year, I would probably be doing all sorts of things on Twitter to try to get her attention and make her come visit my track for an hour.
So she's not... No, she isn't coming this year, is she? No.
I don't think so.
Did she come last year?
I do pay attention to the guest list. I just don't...
Was it last year or the year before? She has been to DragonCon, so...
Yes.
Yeah.
She came last year, but I didn't know she was a Wheel of Time fan at the time. Otherwise, I would have tried to drag her into my track.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fair.
So oh, well,
she's a big
next time
girl.
She comes.
She's
I know this now.
So whereabouts are you located? Where's your main track room going to be?
We are in the Kennesaw Room of the Hyatt, which is the basement level of the Hyatt. You begin the Hyatt and keep going down until you find that lowest level. And then we're in the Kennesaw next to the elevator bank.
Yeah, you know how many times I have been lost down there? It is ridiculous.
How do you get lost? There are two halls.
No,
well,
but
I get lost all the time in the Hyatt. I lived there for 4 days out of a year. So it's
No. I understand getting lost in the Hyatt, just not on that level. There's only two hallways.
I have mm-hmm. wound up in the back behind, in areas I'm not supposed to be in, just because I've been looking for something. Looking for a room and I can't find it anywhere, and it's just mm-hmm. and that's how, by the way, I think that's when I've run past the Wheel of Time room. That I just get
you can hit him
lost.
When you meet him this year, Jen.
I just get lost. Well,
assuming I know what he looks like.
I'll make sure you do. I am just stunned. Okay. There are two hallways on that bottom floor at the Hyatt. Two and a half.
It seems like there's more, though. Doesn't it, like, no. loop around in a circle? Or
no, there's it one big hallway. It...
Isn't Star Wars down there, too, typically?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I've been lost down there. I know I've been lost down there because...
American Sci-Fi is down there. A lot of people are down... Oh, my Lord, you have a terrible sense of direction, John.
I don't. It's just somehow...
It used to be all the track rooms were down there. At one point,
we were small enough that we could do that.
It's not that I have a terrible sense of direction. It's just down there, I feel like I can't see the sun. I can't see light. There's nothing down there.
No, that's
true. It's just, you know, it's...
He gets overwhelmed by Dragon Con and starts spinning around in circles.
Right. There's impromptu drum circles going on down there, and it's just...
Uh-huh. Well, there's probably our Dark Friend Hunt game going on, which tends to spill into the hallway every night we do it.
Occasionally, there's a werewolf following me, and it's just really, you know, so I run one direction and I get lost. So anyway, that's me. I guess it's just me. Any highlights you want to hit about your with your track this year?
Okay, well, if you're a Wheel of Time fan, you probably already want to visit my track. But the big thing you want to keep your schedule clear for. Is Tor has commissioned someone who's actually a friend of mine. The guy that actually owns Dragamount.com is also an amateur filmmaker. And so he has made for Tor this a book trailer for Towers of Midnight. And so we're going to have the world premiere of the Towers of Midnight trailer at one of our panels. And then immediately following that, we're going to let Brandon Reed from part of Towers of Midnight. It's going to be the first time any of the fans have gotten to see or hear or anything from Towers of Midnight. So we're all very excited. We want to... You know, find out what's going on so we can see if our theories are right. And then we're going to pester him with questions afterwards. So if you're a big Wheel of Time fan, you want to do that. That's right now it's scheduled for 1 p.m. on Saturday. I don't know if that's going to change or not, but that's where we've got it right now.
And as we always say, nothing is written in stone until you've been there and you've done that.
Exactly.
Then it already happened. Maybe.
I'm waiting for my schedule to just get rearranged. Mm-hmm. We've got a big party we do Saturday night. It's called a Night at the Wine Spring Inn. We're going to have a band. We're going to have some games. People dress up for it. It's really cool if you're into the costuming. So we're going to have that going on. We play a game called Dark Fun Hunt. It's like the Are You a Werewolf game that they play in the Buffy track. But ours is Wheel of Time flavored, so it's Are You a Dark Friend? Have you infiltrated our village? So we do that, and that's built out in the hallway, and people play that until 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. It's kind of insane. We have a costuming contest, so if you want to see what the Wheel of Time looks like, come to our costuming contest. That's on Sunday. It'll be in the Marriott. I don't remember what time, though. We've got a lot of really good book discussion panels going on. Irene Gallo, who's the art director for Tor Book, she's coming to Dragon Con this year. And there's this project going on where, for the first time, the Wheel of Time series is being released as ebooks this year. And so once a month, they release a new ebook version of one of the books. And they're doing new cover art, you know, cover in quotes, for the ebooks. And each cover has been done by a different artist. And, you know, so that there's been a big thing on Tor.com every month where they release this and show off the new cover art, and everybody gets kind of hysterical over it, like, oh, did this artist do a good job of the characters? That's not how I pictured Avienda. Her hair is too blonde. I don't like that. You know, stuff like that. Or you made Moraine look like a gypsy. I don't think she would have looked like a gypsy. You know, stuff like that. Stuff that only fanboys would mutter about. But anyway, so Irene Gallo is coming.
They get very upset. They do.
And the artists actually, you know, pay attention to feedback. The guy that did the cover for The Fires of Heaven, I met him a couple months ago at MiniCon up in Minneapolis. And he was like, yeah, I thought I did a really good job on this cover. I was really proud of it. But then they put it up on the website, and the Wheel of Time fans tore it apart. And I guess I shouldn't have, you know, given her that belt with the coins on it, but I thought it looked awesome. Because one of the criticisms of it was, you made her look like a gypsy. Moraine would never look like a gypsy. And I'm like, oh, you don't understand. It's, you know, there's all this other stuff going on. Ignore the belt. You know, because it
doesn't matter. No. You've gotten one thing.
I know. Yeah, but, you know, just little stuff like that will mess everything up. But anyway, so Irene's going to be there, and she's going to talk about what she does as the art director for Tor in packaging these books and putting together the covers and how she picked the artists and solicit fan feedback in a different venue of how people like the covers, who's the favorite artist so far, stuff like that. One of the things that Tor is intending to do when the series is complete is republish it with brand new covers. And the e-books are the way for them to experiment with different styles and different artists and different ways of visualizing the series to see what it is that, you know, fans really respond to, what makes the fans really happy, what increases sales, stuff like that. And so she really wants to know what people think of this stuff, so she's going to do a panel with me and one of the e-book artists.
That sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
That actually does. I like that. So cool. Well, I just know, I mean, every year...
Artwork.
Yeah, I mean, every year you guys have just a great group that marches in the parade. Every year, I know people have loved all the discussions you do. People love these books, and they want to talk about them.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I keep thinking at some point
thing.
We get a life.
No. You have a life. You have a life. It's called Wheel of Time.
Don't
and you're
it.
Waiting for
there
two
you
more
go.
Books, so it's all good.
And life is overrated, really. I mean,
forget it.
Real life is kind of boring. So... all right. Well, you know, I think that ties it up pretty neatly there with the whole life is not real.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going.
It's a horrible sham.
Let me...
A horrible sham of conventions and interneting.
I was just awkwardly stumbling to a conclusion.
It's all about elf poems and petticoats. It's all about elf poems and petticoats.
Well, Jennifer, I really appreciate you coming out and joining us here. And also, as I say to all the directors, I really do appreciate you taking the time out of your life. And as we say every time, this is a volunteer position. Nobody's getting paid for this, so you know, give them a break if they don't have your favoritest thing there. You know,
we do this purely because we love it, and we don't know what else to do with ourselves on Labor Day weekend.
It's either this or go to the beach, and, you know, most of the people don't want to go to the beach.
The beach is crowded and there's sunshine.
Yes, exactly. So, Lee, thank you very much for joining.
Well, thank you for having me again. And this was a lot of fun. This was great. And, I only got to tell
great.
One story about Jennifer, but I got to tell it, so I'm always excited.
I kind of keep my head down at Dragon Con. I don't throw a little temper tantrums. I don't make a lot of trouble or a lot of waves. I just kind of run my track. I put my panelists up there, and we just kind of hang out for a weekend. But, I'm good.
And that's what Dragon Con's
that's
all
the way
about.
To do it.
You know?
That's it.
It's a whole bunch of different people that all have one common interest, and that is, you know, hanging out together. So
being a huge, huge nerd.
Exactly.
Woohoo!
All right.
Well, this is cool.
Until next time, thank you once again, Jennifer. Thank you, Lee.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And
peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. Visit us at theuniquegeek.com. Send your comments, complaints, and story ideas via email to thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Join our list by going to groups.google.com/group/theuniquegeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike license. Peace out.